Continue the reading.
This is the second time around.
This is the second time around.
The first time took us 15 years. This is also about 15 years.
15 years?
I mean, we're not done yet, but yeah. Okay. The pasuk begins, V'haya ekev tishmun, simply it means, the way the English says, which is not the only interpretation, V'haya ekev tishmun as mishpatim ha'ila, simply means, ekev means when. When you will listen to my laws, ushmartim asisim esam, and you will keep them and observe them. So then, what is the reward?
980.
V'shamar Hashem alakach alukhas habritz v'sachesed, Hashem will guard you, the covenant and the kindness asher nishpa l'avisecha that he swore to your forefathers. So simply, the pasuk is saying, when you will listen to the mitzvahs that I'm commanding you, so the reward is that Hashem will keep his promise that he promised to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So right away Rashi asks, L'cha'era, this is not the normal way of speaking. Normally the Torah says, Im b'chukai seteleichu, or V'hoya im tishmu unesa mishpatim o'ela, if. What does it mean, Ekev? So Rashi says, Ekev means those mitzvahs that are seemingly non-important that people step on with their heel. Ekev means heel. V'hoya ekev tishmun means even those mitzvahs that people step on, that people don't, because they think they're not important. Ekev tishmun, when you keep those mitzvahs, then Hashem is going to reward you. And this, by the way, answers a lot of issues over here. Because, for instance, Tosfos over here brings down a medrash. David HaMelech said, Lama ira bimeira, Avoyna keva yusubeini. Okay? Amr David, David HaMelech said, this is what the medrash says, David HaMelech said to Hashem, Mimitzvus chamura shebeteira eini yori. I'm not afraid of the important mitzvahs of the Torah, because those I know I kept. What am I afraid of? He says, Avu mitzvahs kala sha'adam doshba akeva ani misyari. David HaMelech said, what am I afraid of? Those not important mitzvahs. People think, big deal, it's not that important. And because it's not that important, David HaMelech said, maybe I didn't keep them the proper way. So that's why the Torah says, V'hoya ekev tishmun, that when you'll keep even those mitzvahs that people step on that seemingly are not important, so then you'll be able to do it. And then he brings on, that's Kim Maltes, brings down a medrash. Okay? He says, what did a king do? A king had a garden. Okay? He wanted people to plant the garden. So he didn't tell them which one is more important things to grow, which one are less important things to grow. Everybody thought they're getting the same deal. He says, he didn't tell them how much they're getting paid. He didn't tell them which netiyah they're going to get more reward. Why? Because if the king said to them, for this planting, you're going to get more money, of course everybody's going to run to do that work. And Hashem needs the whole garden planted. So therefore Hashem didn't tell anybody. Therefore this is very important. And he says two interesting things. There's two mitzvahs the Torah says, Leman yarichon yomecha. Okay? Shiluach hakein, when you send away the mother bird to take the eggs. And the other one is kibud av v'aim. Now, both the Torah says, Leman yarichon yomecha. You're going to live long. Yet, if you think about it, sending away the mother bird is very simple. Yeah, shoo, go, you know, scream at it, it runs. Kabed esavicha v'asimacha, the Gemara says, is the most difficult mitzvah to do. If you remember when we're learning in the Aseret Dibros, the mitzvah, kabed esavicha v'asimacha, the Gemara says, the Gemara was telling us how great Reb Tarfon's mother was praising her son, how much he honored her and everything. And when she praised him to the Chachamim said he didn't even do anything compared to what he was supposed to be doing. To the extent that we learned in the Gemara, we mentioned this when we're learning then, Rabbi Yechanan said, Fortunate is a person who doesn't have any parents. Oh. So Rabbi Yechon, by the way, Rabbi Yechon didn't have any parents. But Rabbi Yechon had said, fortunate is the one that doesn't have any parents.
When he's born, he doesn't have born.
Well, his mother died when he was born, and his father died before he was born. There are many Bedouin people. Abaye was like that also. Abaye of the Gemara is also like that. Rabbi Yechon, I don't know, doesn't say. Abaye was raised by Rabbah, that's what it says. So Rabbi Yechon said in the Gemara, if you don't have any parents, you're lucky. Why? He said, because if you have parents, there's no way you're going to do the mitzvah properly. So if you don't have parents, at least you're doing the mitzvah properly. Or at least you're not doing the mitzvah properly. Okay? So here you have two mitzvahs, as Stasis says. You have two mitzvahs. Amar Reb Shimon Yochai. He says, Shtei mitzvahs gila kadosh baruch hu. Hashem told us to be word of two mitzvahs. Kala shebekalais, the easiest of easy mitzvah to send away the mother bird. Chamoris shebechamoris, yeah? And both are equal to schar. Okay? And that's why David HaMelech said, B'shamram Ekev Rav. Okay, whatever. So the bottom line is like this. We don't know, like it says in the Mishnah, Evezor b'mitzvah kala kevachamura. You have to be as careful and shine with an easy mitzvah, meaning a mitzvah that seems less important, as you would by a very strict mitzvah. Because we don't know which mitzvah is most important. We really don't know. Sometimes an easier mitzvah is more important than a more difficult mitzvah. Sometimes for this individual person, the easy mitzvah is the straw that breaks the camel's back, so to speak, that makes him a full-fledged, proper, observant Jew. So the Torah says like this, Eikav Tishmun, and in fact, to add to this, the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh says like this. It says, V'hoya Eikav Tishmun. The Gemara says, Ein Vayehi, when it says in Torah, Vayehi, like Vayehi B'mei HaShveirish, Vayehi B'mei Shveit HaShevtim, the Gemara says, Vayehi is an expression of tzar, of pain and trouble. And the Gemara says, Ein Vahoya, Elo Lashon Simcha. The Gemara says this. And the Gemara says, By Vahoya Kisave Elo Aretz, the Gemara says, Vayehi is an expression of pain and suffering. Like was Bimach HaShveirish that Haman, Shveit HaShevtim was about time in Jewish history. Then you have, Vahoya is an expression of Simcha. So Reb Chaim says, okay, so he says like this. He's telling us that the Simcha, that Eik of Tishmun, that even those mitzvahs that are the least important, you also keep it properly, that's the big Simcha. And the Kalyaka also adds over here, and he says, because he asks a question like this. The Pasuk, the last Pasuk verse Chanan, on page 978 at the bottom, it says, V'shamart v'sam mitzvah, v'sam chukim v'sam mishpatim. Over there it says, chukim and mishpatim. Over here, what does the Torah say? Esam mishpatim ho'ela. Why does he leave out chukim? Why did he leave out chukim? In the previous passage, the Torah says chukim and mishpatim. And here he's only saying mishpatim. Because the Torah wants to emphasize logical mitzvahs are the ones that, you know, yes, important, now important. You can argue about them. They seemingly are less important. Chukim, everybody thinks the illogical mitzvahs are more important. The Torah says no. The ultimate simcha is when you do Ekev, when you do the mitzvah, because Hashem said so. Why is there no difference, if you think about it, between a harder mitzvah and an easier mitzvah? There should be a difference. The answer is very simple. We do it because Hashem said so. What's the difference if it's hard or easy? It doesn't matter. If we're doing it because Hashem said so, then everything is the same. Because you do it because Hashem said so. If it's easy to keep or hard to keep, there's no difference. If Hashem told me to do A and B, then I have to do both equally. You can't say there's any difference. Because if I do one with more enthusiasm and one with less enthusiasm, like we learned the other week, that my interest gets involved. This I like, I do better. I understand, I do better. I don't understand, I do less. More important, I think it's more important, less important. In fact, it said, brought down an interesting thing. Even Jewish tradition, minhag. Minhag? We know minhag Yisrael Teirihi. The Rishonim Tosfos says, minhag Yisrael Teirihi, a Jewish law, custom, I mean, is Teirah. It's brought down that a minhag is as important as halacha. And in fact, it's an interesting thing. We have in the Manishtana, yeah, the different versions of the order of the Manishtana. There's Bavli, Yerushalmi, the Rambam's order, and then you have the different Nuschois of order. Many people, the first question is Chametz U'Matzah. Then Moror, then Matbilin, and then Mesubin, right? According to the Rambam, and this is the Chabad version based on Kabbalah, is first is Matbilin, then Chametz U'Matzah, then Moror, and then Mesubin. What's the difference? So, the reason why they do Chametz and Matzah first is because that's biblical. Even today, Matzah is biblical. Moror, nowadays, is rabbinic. So when you do, first we do the biblical mitzvah, that we ask first Matzah. Then Moror, nowadays, is no Korban Pesach, it's rabbinic. And then we go Matbilim, which is a minhag. Because dipping the carpets is a minhag, it's not aloch. So it goes in the order of importance. Biblical, rabbinic, custom. In Chabad, we start with the custom of Matbilin. The reason for that, because that's the first thing the kid sees. First thing the kid sees is the carpus and salt water. But the Rebbe points out that this shows the importance of a Jewish custom. The Jewish minig is so important that goes first, even before the biblical mitzvah of eating matzah. Because Jewish custom shows that you're involved in Judaism, not only what you have to do, you do, but even what's customary to do, you do.
Is it overcome the halacha?
It doesn't change halacha, no. There is certain times, there's an expression women said, no, minig brecht adim, but that's not a true statement. There is, in there's a Rashba, they bring it down in Yoredeya, in the laws of Kashrus, no? They bring down that even though the halacha should be this way, this is what the Rashba says, even though the halacha should be this way, but minag noshim zakenios is not like that, that the custom, the old women are not like that, and therefore you do what the old women did. Because the minag became, first of all, the Rambam writes, by the way, that any minag which is accepted by Rov Jews has a din of Torah. That's what I'm right. Any minig, so therefore it has the severity of Torah. So people, one second, let me just finish. So people can think, you know, a minig is not important. It's Akev. Davening like this is that the Torah says, Akev Tishmun, the only Simcha. Vahoya, when does Hashem have Simcha? When Akev Tishmun. When you keep even those mitzvahs which are not so important, or you think are not important, because we don't know how important it really is. What?
There is a minhag. There are some minhags, like for example, in some groups that they don't marry a girl whose father is a Kohen. Or in Syrian community, they don't marry a girl. So these are minhagim.
That's not a minhag that's based in Torah. It's a minhag of prejudice.
How about like marriage, intermarriage, like how about the Sephardic?
Oh,
how about that's the, what this mean? What's the what,
my intermarriage?
Yeah,
it's amazing.
What's that? How about this mean?
Wait, when it says robe, does robe just mean majority?
Yeah, majority means the majority. That was accepted by the majority of Jews. Yeah. What?
Who states this minhag? Who starts?
It could be a minig, like we said, a minig Yisrael that started in many, many different places. But sometimes it says also in halacha the expression. If you notice, minhag is the same letters as gehenim. Minhag and gehenim is the same word letters. So in Yishenim, you learn Shulchan Aruch. You see, they write uminig kazeh. Such a custom is letters gehenim. Meaning it's no good. Okay, You can't say minhag today is to do and whatever you do, therefore it's acceptable. Mm-hmm. We're talking. But it has to be in a minhag which is accepted by Gedolei Yisrael. Minhag is Yishno, transmitted generation to generation. Who started it? Different minhagim was started by different people, different communities had a minhag.
They come from the Alechad.
Yeah.
They come from the...
Okay, another interesting interpretation of Ahoya Ekev Tishmun says in the Zohar that Ekev Tishmun refers to the Ikvas of the Mashiach, the time right before the coming of Mashiach. The Gemara says that the generation right before Mashiach is called Ikvas of the Mashiach. Gemara in Saita says. It's the heel right before, meaning the lowest part of the body, the last part of the body right before the coming of Mashiach. So the Torah says, Bahaya, what is Hashem Simcha? That even Akev, even in the times of Ikvis of the Mashiach, with darkness and problems, and you don't see any godliness, and you don't see any miracles, and all, even then, Tishmu'un, even then the Jews are going to keep mitzvahs, that is the true Simcha by God. And that's why we learned the Moshe was the most humble person that ever lived. It says he was most humble when he saw the generation right before Mashiach, that he's going to, Jews are still going to be keeping mitzvahs. I mentioned in the past, there was a great Rebbe in Europe, I don't know which one it was. And the Chassidim were going to America, and all the holy tzaddikim were in Europe yet. So the Chassid went into his Rebbe and said, Rebbe, we're going to America, who can we get a bracha from? All the tzaddikim are in Europe. Who can we get a bracha from? So his Rebbe said to him, you go into shul in the morning for davening, and you'll see a Jew putting on tefillin. This is right after the war. And you'll see, you'll have a number from the concentration camp on his hand. Yeah? That Jew that went through the concentration camp and is still putting on tefillin, you can go to him and get a bracha.
It was a Satmar Rav.
There's different opinions who it was. But anyway, because Zamarov did come to America. They said it was, such a person can give the fact that after the war, a Jew can still be doing mitzvahs, that's a tremendous simcha by Hashem. That Ekev Tishmun, even in the right before the coming of Mashiach, Jews are going to become, it's going to be a very big simcha. Okay, so the Pasuk says like this, Ushmartem Asisa Meisam, you should keep them, then when you do it, so what's going to happen is Hashem will keep all the promises that Hashem will guard the bris and the chesed that he spoke to your forefathers. And what will he do? V'heich Hashem will love you. U'beirachecha, he'll bless you. V'hibecha, and he'll multiply you. U'beirach privitnecha firad masecha, he'll bless the fruit of your womb, meaning he'll bless your children. And he'll bless your priyad mascha, your growth, meaning the agricultural things. The goncha tiroshcha v'yitzerecha, your grain, your wine, and your oil. Shkara lefecha v'ashrei senecha, the offspring of your cattle. V'ashrei senecha, the flocks of your sheep. Alo adama shenishpa l'avisecha losos loch, on the land that Hashem swore to your forefathers to give you. Okay? What?
Rabbi, in Pirkei Avot they say you don't expect for the mitzvah, get reward of mitzvah. How come you say the reward here?
Good question, but we answered it already. The answer, the Rambam answers it in Hilchos Tshuva. The Rambam writes, because according to the Rambam, there's an argument between Ramban and Rambam, the famous argument. The Rambam learns that there's no reward for mitzvahs in this world. There's no reward for mitzvahs. Schar b'mitzvah by Al Malek. According to the Rambam, a neshama that's in the body cannot get the ultimate reward. Therefore, a person has to die. Gan Eden, that's the ultimate reward. Therefore, according to the Rambam, after Tchias HaMeisim, people are going to die. No, Tchias HaMeisim is going to get up.
Yeah.
Eventually, everybody's going to die. And that's going to be after they die, after Tchias HaMeis, that's going to be the ultimate reward.
Ultimate what?
Reward. Because Rambam holds you can't have reward in a neshama in a body. The Ramban, Kabbalah, and many people disagree with the Rambam. And they say, no, the reward of mitzvahs will be ultimately neshama in a guf. I don't want to go into that now. So the Rambam asks, and himself, so to speak, So what is this that the Torah says, in b'chokei say teleichu, if you go on the ways of mitzvahs, I'll give you gashmis, and, you know, everything, or these things. So the Rambam says, it's not reward for the mitzvah. It's not reward for the mitzvah.
They still,
according to the Rambam, this is not reward for the mitzvah. What is it? When the Hashem sees, this is what the Rambam writes in Hilchos Teshuva, when Hashem sees that a Jew is trying to observe mitzvahs, Eikav Tishmun, Hashem says, you know what? I see you're trying. I'm going to make your life easier. I'm going to give you health, wealth, happiness. Not as reward for the mitzvah. To enable you to do mitzvahs properly. Because if a person has money, he doesn't have to think, where am I getting my next piece of bread? And if he has health, he doesn't have to worry about going to the doctor. He can learn a daven and do mitzvahs. So the Rambam learns all these physical rewards that the Torah promises for learning Torah and keeping mitzvahs is not the reward. This is only to make life easier, that we should be able to observe mitzvahs easier. And that's definitely what it means over here. When you keep them, then Hashem is going to keep the covenant, and He's going to give you privitcha v'amasecha. He's going to give you all those. Now Rashi brings down, why is it called Ashtrei Senecha? Because Ashtrei comes from the word Ashir. It makes the owners rich. When there's a lot of cattle, so the owners become rich. That's the word from the word of Ashirus. Ashrei Senecha. Okay? So this is the mitzvahs that the reward that the Yidden are going to get.
Still, I cannot understand that. Because they are religious, they are hard to make money. The non-religious is easy to make money. How come somebody hard to
Where
get money?
Where did you get that from?
We see that. Almost religious people are hard to get money.
Religious people are hard to get money?
Yeah. I see it. Non-religious, making money.
I'm going to ask you a question. Yeah. I'm asking everybody. A lot of money is a blessing or a curse?
It depends how you use it.
There's an expression, there's a Hasidic word like this. Three things affect you. If you have them and they don't affect you, it's only because you didn't have enough. Meaning like this.
Money,
that's that. Whiskey makes you drunk. If you drink whiskey and you're not drunk, it's only because you didn't drink enough. And then he says like this. Money makes you crazy. If you have money and you're not crazy, it's only because you don't have enough. But money won't make you crazy. You know what happens to all the people that win the lottery tickets? All the golden bananas. They divorce and they're miserable. They kill themselves. And the third thing he says, about the way learning Chassidus refines you. If you learn Chassidus, you're not refined. It's because you didn't learn enough. Okay? So not always is money a blessing. I know everybody says, God test me, let me have the money and test. I know everybody says that. But you know what? Let me tell you something. Let me tell you a little secret. God, whether you like it or not, very smart. God runs the world the best way. Remember you said many times, if you would be God, would you run the world differently?
No.
Everybody, because you know already. Everybody says, yeah, if I would be God, no wars, no illness, no poverty, no da-da-da-da, only bliss. Okay, whoever says that is a total non-believer in God, not a 50%. 100% non-believer in God. Because God does everything the best possible way, just because we're stupid and we don't understand what God does is not God's problem. Hashem runs the world the best possible way. The amount of money you have is what Hashem feels is the best for you. What I have is the best for me and him, the best. What Hashem gives us is the best for us. The question is, how we use it. How we use the money. So when Hashem gives a person parnasa, we need to understand that no matter what I do, I'm not going to get more and I'm not going to get less. You have to make a vessel. But whatever you're supposed to be getting, you're going to get anyway. You can't sleep in bed all day. You have to make a vessel. Right? So, it doesn't help. You know, and Hashem knows that for you, and for you, and for you, and for you, and for me, what I have is the best thing for me to have. And I have to work with what I have. And it's expected to me based on what I have. If I have less money, I'm expected to give less tzedakah. If I have more money, I'm expected to give more tzedakah. If I have, so, you can't see religious people harder, not harder. Hashem does everything the right way.
Why you bless to get more health, more money every Saturday, every Shabbos, Berach Shemir, whatever?
We ask for Hashem to give us the money
we know
that
Hashem
we should be able to serve Hashem.
The amount that we have, it.
But
why
Hashem,
we ask more?
Why do we daven for somebody to be to a chola? Why do we daven for a chola?
We shouldn't do that.
We shouldn't.
Huh? Because the way you're talking, we shouldn't do that. Because everybody's set up. My money is set up this much for
correct.
Media.
Correct.
So,
but that's not what God wants. Hashem wants that we should daven to be healthy and wealthy and wise, and that Hashem should give us whatever we need. Why does Hashem want us to daven?
Yeah.
Because when we daven,
yeah.
we are aware that God is the one that gives it to us. Without davening to Hashem, as the Pasuk uses the expression, otherwise the person thinks, it's my doing, it's my brain, and it's my, you know, money, it comes to my...
So
somebody has a very good vart, somebody in Shul has a very good vart. You see what God thinks about money by the ones he gave it to. You see what God thinks about money. Okay? A person needs to understand, we need to realize, and this is why Hashem wants us to daven. Hashem wants us to realize that he is the source of my health, therefore I'm davening to Hashem to be healthy. Hashem is the source of my parnasa, so I'm not davening to Hashem that he should give me parnasa.
But not to get more, because you're saying it's already...
We're not asking for more, we're asking Hashem should give us
to keep it.
What he wants to give
us. To keep it, to live it the same state, not more.
Because a person, if they have more money and God gives it to them, it means Hashem trusts them more to do more mitzvahs. That's all. Okay, anyway. So this is what Hashem says. You keep the mitzvahs, especially the ones that people step on that think you think are not important. Okay, and then Hashem will give you all these brachas and the land that Hashem swore to your forefathers to give you. Okay, now, and as we said before, Hashem swore, which means whether we deserve it or not, we get it. In fact, a Jew basically, by the way, this also says in Sfarim, Hashem says, according to Halacha, a father has to support a child, correct?
Yeah.
So if God's our father, he has an obligation, according to Torah, to support us.
18 years old, not more.
Yeah, try that today, yeah. Doesn't work. Okay, then the Pasuk says in Yedal like this, Baruch Tihiyah Mikolo Amin. You should be the most blessed of all nations. There should not be any akar, which is an infertile male or infertile female, amongst you, in other words, people, uvehemtecho, and in your animals. I mean, there'll be an abundance of a bracha that Hashem gives everything good to the person. Whatever the person wants or deserves, or what the person needs, rather, okay? That Hashem wants. Now, I forgot to mention a very interesting question before that a lot of the mafarshim ask. Okay, in pasuk, the first pasuk it says like this: Vayayikev tishmun. Tishmuun is plural, lashon rabim. Yeah, ushmartem vasisem oisam is plural. Then what does it say? V'shama Hashem elokecha l'cha. It should say lochem. If the pasuk is starting off plural, right? Tishmun is plural, Shmartim is plural, Vasisem is plural. Okay? So he says, why does it say V'shama Hashem elokecha l'cha? Why does it say l'cha? It's a bris, because he speaks all plural, and then all of a sudden he goes into l'cha. So Klayakis says an interesting word. He says, because Hashem says, you as your generation, meaning like this, Hashem swore to the Ovis to give it to them. Correct? Shenish b'Hashem l'avisecha. So who says it has to be your generation? Maybe it could be the next generation. Hashem didn't say when he's going to give it.
Give what? The land?
The land. The all the good things. Okay? So he says like this. Mm. The Pasuk is starting to say that a guy will say like this. Very simple. A guy will come along and say, why do I have to keep mitzvahs if God already swore to do it? Then God has to keep it. So why do I have to do mitzvahs? God has to keep his oath anyway. He made an oath. So why do I have to keep it? So the Torah says, because Hashem Hashem Elokecha L'chor refers not to you as an individual, to the generation. Because if you don't keep it, Hashem will give it to another generation. He swore to the forefathers, now he's going to give it to them. But who says he has to give it to your generation? Maybe he'll give it to another generation. The people that died in the Midbar didn't get the land. I, Hashem, swore. Yeah, but they didn't behave, so they didn't get it. The next generation behaved, they did get it. So Moshe Rabbeinu's telling, listen, Hashem is going to give it. Because he swore he's going to give it. But who says it's going to be to you? Maybe it'll be to a different people, a different generation. Okay, now what does it mean, Hashem, your nation is blessed from all nations? Meaning like this, that the Jews have a special relationship with Hashem in a way that they're blessed. Baruch means, we learned many times, means bringing down. Okay? The Jew, all the malach, all the nations, by the way, get their parnasa through the mazolus, the sodim, the malachim in charge of the nation is the middleman that gives all the other nations the parnasa. Jews come straight from Hashem. Baruch tia mikol ha'amim, because the Jews get that level of bracha, that bringing down, straight from Hashem. Ein mazal Yisrael. The Jews are not bound by constellations, they're not bound by malachim. The ayin sarim, the 70 malachim in charge of the 70 nations, that's only for the nations. The Jews are the 71st nation. So it said, Baruch tia mikol ha'amim. And because of that, there will not be any akav akara, male or female, that can give birth, or even amongst the animals. And Hashem will remove from you every illness. And all the bad maladies, the bad things of Mitzrayim, asher yadaita, that you know about because you're in Egypt. Lo yasim bach, not give it to you. And he'll give it to all your enemies. What?
Huh? You said En Mazal Yisrael.
No.
If you have a court case with a goy, you should push it off after all, because
Ma'al
is not a good
Mazal. And Adar is a good Mazal.
When somebody has a baby, you say Mazal Tov?
Yeah.
Somebody gets engaged, you say Mazal Tov? When somebody comes into show finally, you say Mazal Tov? Okay. So then you say good morning. I ain't Mazal Yisrael. Why are you saying somebody Mazal Tov? We always say you should have a good Mazal, right? Hello? I ain't Mazal Yisrael.
Because you're all of the nation. Because you're saying there's no Mazal for Yisrael, but then why are there times that are auspicious or in?
That's what I meant. So I'm just broadening the question. So if there's no Mazal to Yisrael, why do you say Mazal Tov? Mm-hmm. We should say ain't Mazal Tov. I mean, whatever. Why are we saying Ein Mazal Yisrael means the Jews are not under the jurisdiction of the Mazalus. And the Mazalus that the Jews, that give the Jews, when you say Mazal Tov, or that Av is a bad Mazal, and Adar is a good Mazal, and all those things of Mazal Tov and not Mazal Tov, does not mean the Jews don't get their things through the Mazalus. What it means is, okay, we'll kill some time now. But it's fundamental Judaism, so it doesn't matter. When there's something called Shituf, which is the concept of the Mazalus and the constellations, and there's a concept of straight from Hashem. Okay, now, when we speak in modern day language, even though the mashal is given or is kigarzen biyad achaytziv, like the axe in the hand of the chopper, yeah. When somebody gives you a ride somewhere, yeah, and you get out of the car and you say thank you, who are you saying thank you to? to the driver. Yeah? Why don't you say thank you to the car? The car brought you here. When a guy cuts you a piece of cake, you should say thank you to the knife. Because what cut the cake? The knife cut the cake. So you should say, at least, thank you person, thank you car, thank you person, thank you knife. Why don't you say thank you to the car or to the knife? So simple seichel dictates, you don't need Kabbalah for this. Simple seichel dictates, you say thank you to something that had the choice to do it or not to do it. When an axe chops wood, the axe didn't have the choice, the bechira, to say, I'm going to do it, I'm not going to do it. The guy that chopped the wood, the guy that drove you, had the choice to do it or not to do it. Right? Why is there a mitzvah, kibud av v'em? Because the Gemara says, gimel shutfim ba'adam. There's three partners in the creation of man. Father, mother, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the neshama. Correct? Now, of the three, who's the most important partner? God. Because he gives the neshama. Otherwise, God forbid, it's a stillborn. It's not a... not vibrant life, right? So who is the main partner? Hashem. So why is there a mitzvah kibud av v'em? Because the parents had the choice to have you or not to have you. If they didn't want to get married or didn't want to have kids, then you wouldn't be here. The fact that you have a kid, this kid is born, because the parents chose to have you. Okay? The axe has no will to say yes or no. So therefore, you don't give credence to something that has absolutely no choice in the matter. Okay? Very simply understood? Good. In fact, there's a whole maimer from Reb Marash explaining why women on Rosh Chodesh keep Rosh Chodesh, and he goes into the whole thing of by the Egel, by Yetzias Mitzrayim, and what happened before initially, and he says, this is Eila Lekecha Yisroel, when they made the golden calf, right? He said, this is your God, Jews, that took you out of Egypt. Yeah? But the Jews saw who took him out of Egypt. This calf took him out of Egypt? How can the Jews say, this is the calf that took him? They weren't just born. They know Moshe Rabbeinu took him out, not this calf. They saw this calf just existing. All of a sudden they say, this is the calf that took you out of Egypt. Who's going to believe that? It's a whole mind explaining, but the point over here is like this. The Goyim are allowed to believe that the constellation, the Mazalis, and the Ayin Sarim have a say in the matter. They have a say in the matter. Whether to give the sustenance from Hashem or not to give the sustenance from Hashem. And therefore a Goy is allowed to believe in Shituf. Shituf means a partnership. What's a partner? Like we said before, the parents are partners. They have a say to do it or not. Goyim are allowed to believe because the truth is their hashpah, their sustenance from Hashem, comes through the mazalas. And a goy is allowed to believe that the mazal had a say in it or not to do it, and therefore I'm allowed to say thank you to the mazalas. A Jew, ein mazal Yisroel, means, it's a Gemara, ein mazal Yisroel, it's not the, or as Chassidus explains, and Kabbalah explains, don't read it, ein mazal Yisroel, read it, ayin mazal Yisroel. Ayin is a level, yeshmi ayin, higher than world is called ayin, and that's why, by the way, esa ein ay alaharim, may ayin yove yezri, ezri mi meshem. So how do you learn the pasuk simply? I pick up my eyes to the sky and I ask a question. May I in Yahweh Ezri? Where is my help going to come from? Right? And David HaMelech says, Ezri Miyam Hashem. It's coming from God. In Kabbalah it says, don't read it as a question, it's a statement. May Ayin, from the level of Ayin, Yahweh Ezri. What does it mean, Ayin Mazal Yisrael? In Kabbalah language, Ayin is Keser. Higher than the world, whatever. What it means is like this. A Jew has to believe And this is the difference why by a goy you're allowed to believe in shituf, and for a Jew you're not allowed to believe in shituf. A Jew has to believe that nothing comes to the Jew with any free choice of their own coming straight from Hashem. The mazalis have no stake. Yes, they're mazalis. Hashem made mazalis. But the mazal has no say whether it's yes or no, it to give or not to give. Ein mazal Yisrael, the Jews work straight from God. Baruch tia mikolo amim. You have the hamshacha straight from Hashem. It doesn't go through the constellations. One second. Okay? Now, therefore, when a Jew believes, you say mazal tov, meaning the constellation, the car should give you a good ride. But that doesn't mean the car has any jurisdiction or credence or anything to say thank you to the car. You see, mazal tov, the constellations, hashpah, should go through the constellation. In other words, you should get a good knife. You say, buy a good knife. That doesn't mean you're going to say thank you to the knife. You say, you should buy a good knife. You want to get a good cut, buy a good knife. You should have a mazel tov, the mazel, but not that the mazel has a say to give it or not to give it, or what to whatever. The Jew is not bound by mazel. Because baruch tia mikolam, what? What?
Is the mazel in your example analogous to the axe?
Yeah. So a Jew has to believe, though, that it's only like an axe in the hand of the chopper. It has absolutely no say in the matter.
But you're still acknowledging it.
You're acknowledging that, just like, say, wow, that's a good car. But I don't worship the car. I don't say thank you to the car. I don't give credence to the car. I don't daven to the car that he should take me somewhere. You don't daven to the car because it's a Bentley, Rolls Royce, or whatever the car is. Who cares? You don't daven to the car, please take me. You ask the person, please take me. You don't ask the car, please take me.
So during Chodesh Av, you're acknowledging that it's a bad car.
It's a bad car, and therefore you might get stuck on the way. And other is a great car, a sports car.
Bentley.
Amen.
So when Rabbi, when you say that the goyim are allowed to believe in shituf,
right?
That means that they can believe in an intermediary to Hashem. Is that what?
That's what the aloch is. For instance, the Rama. That's the difference between Christianity and Muslims. Christianity is a question of shituf because they believe in Yoshke as an intermediary. Okay. Therefore, according to the Rambam, the shituf is also even for a goy. The Rambam writes Christianity is Aveda Zorah, even for a goy.
Even for
a goy. But the Aloch is not like the Rambam, because the Rambam and Paskins in Yoredei, the Aloch is that Shitav is allowed for a goy, because, and therefore it's not Aveda Zorah, because the Rambam writes Muslims are not Aveda Zorah, because they don't believe Muhammad is a god. They believe in God, he's the prophet. So they believe in God. But Christianity believes in this guy, middle guy along the way. So Hashem says, so many, the Rambam holds that the Christianity would be Aveda Zorah even for a goy. Because the Rambam holds Aveda Zorah, Shituf is not allowed for a goy either. But the halacha is that Shituf is allowed for a goy. But that's the difference. So you say Mazel Tov, meaning, should be a good smooth ride, it should be a good car, a good knife. But you don't dive into the Mazel, and the Mazel has no say in the matter. That's the whole concept of it.
Besides, who gets married, he needs Mazel Tov.
Huh?
Whoever gets married, he needs this blessing.
Mazel he needs the money. He needs the money. That's for sure. That's true. And when you get a kid and you say mazel tov, you really need mazel.
That's true.
That's the truth of the matter.
So mazel is the smooth path. That's the only thing
right.
You can do.
Right.
That's
right. But ein mazel yisrael means the Jews could change the mazel. Rabbi Kiva and the daughters, you know, on the wedding day, you know, the whole story. Okay. So, Tzedakah Tassim Milvus, the mazel was changed.
You can't change it.
When, God forbid, somebody's very sick, yeah? And you add a name.
Changing the name.
Okay? You don't change. You add a name, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
What do you say in the tefillah? That in case it was, God forbid, decreed death on this and this person, but now they have a new name, it's a different person, so it's a different mazel. Yeah? That doesn't mean God doesn't kill or keep alive. Okay, but it should go good, smooth, or not smooth, or whatever it is. But Jews are not bound by mazel. A Jew can change the mazel.
When the mazel, they started from you born?
Yeah.
Everybody has different mazel. What is they call it?
Subdivisions.
So when people say, oh, this person has good mazel, you know, or anything this person touches turns to gold.
It's good. It's like you say the guy has a good car.
That's all it's saying?
That's all it's saying.
Isn't he not his favorite of the God?
Huh?
He's not favorite of the God? Somebody has good mazel, he's favorite of God?
No. Because how are you to decide what's good mazel and bad mazel?
Because you born it like this.
Let me ask you a question. A guy did a business deal and he had bad mazel and he lost the money.
Yeah.
You say he had bad mazel? Do we say he had bad mazel? He had bad luck?
Bad luck.
We say, right?
Yeah.
A guy did a deal and didn't work, he had bad mazel. Yeah?
So because he has one bad mazel,
he happened. Let me ask you a question. How do you know it's bad? Huh? Maybe, by Hashem, the person was supposed to die, and because he lost the money, he stayed alive. Maybe the person, God forbid, was supposed to get very sick, and because he lost the money, Hashem said, okay, now you're going to be healthy. So now it's good or bad?
It's good.
So how do you know? So in our eyes, it looks to be bad mazel. Does that mean it's bad mazel? Do we know?
So how you differentiate mazel, good mazel and bad mazel?
What looks to us, good mazel and bad mazel.
So this is not true.
Who says it's true?
So that's not true.
When you say somebody has bad luck, how do you know it's bad luck? Maybe it happened to be good. Maybe because of this, something else happened.
Well, it's from our vantage point in this reality.
That's not reality. Our vantage point in this fake world.
How is the mazel different than, let's say, the 12 different characteristics of the 12 Shavuotim? Is that the 12 Shavuotim had a different character? Is that the same thing as the mazel they had?
Yeah, there are similar things to the mazel. The 12 months correspond with the 12 Shavuotim. Yeah, the 12 months correspond with the 12 mazelis, the 12 months. Right, certain months are mazel this, mazel that, you know. Mm-hmm. It has to do, but a Jew is not bound
with mazel.
With the laws of mazel. A Jew could change it. Why? Because a Jew is not connected to mazel. A Jew is connected to Hashem. Baruch Ti Mikol Amin. A Jew is connected straight to Hashem. So therefore, it goes through the way Hashem wants it to go through. But if you believe in God, and you know that nothing bad happens from Hashem, whatever Hashem does is good. So if Hashem, a guy loses money, you should say Baruch Hashem. I told you there were a bunch of chassidim. I mentioned the story many times. There were a bunch of chassidim of different rabbis were sitting in, around the table. And each one telling them the miracles that their rabbi did. And there was a Chabad chassid there, Shmuel Grai, his name was. So he said, my rabbi did miracles bigger than all of yours. So what was your miracle? He said, I asked my rabbi advice in business. I took his advice. And I lost all my money. So he said, what type of miracle is that? He said, the miracle is I'm still a chassid.
I didn't change.
Meaning, I wasn't there because my rabbi did good for me. That's what made me a chassid. And with, you know, with God, when he's good to me, I'm God's chassid. If God does bad to me, I get another God. Another rabbi, you know. It doesn't work like that. If you believe, whatever Hashem does is good. So if it might not look, to our eyes it might look not so good. But the bottom line is, if Hashem does it, it's good. Okay, let's finish on a positive note.